There is a huge difference when we praise when things are going our way and when we praise when it requires faith to praise God because of what we see is not what we were hoping for. I'm gonna read to you a verse that will give you and me reasons to praise Him forever. It's found in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16. If you're not even a Christian here today, you probably have heard of this verse. And he says, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life." Can we praise God for His unconditional love for us? Come on. You may be seated. So glad that you have joined us this morning. My name is Christian Velez. I'm the group's pastor here at North Church. And I have to come clean to you. I used to be the guy that used to judge preachers that always show pictures of their families and their kids. Until I became a dad. Until I have a family. So here is a picture of my wife and my daughter. This is my wife, Natalie, and Isla Rose. My daughter is walking, and she only knows one word, papa. It means dad in Spanish, and I just remind her mother, I'm her favorite. Now, she does not prefer me. She prefers her mom 100%. But here's the thing about my wife and I. We've been married for 5 years. I met my wife when I was 26 years old, and I married my wife when I was 26 years old. I was praying for a wife. God blessed me with this Mexican lady. And she's the biggest blessing of my life. I love her so, so much. But Natalie and I, we are polar opposites. We are so different. Like my wife, super introverted. Not me. She doesn't like the spotlight. I don't mind it at all. My wife does not complain. Like, when she was pregnant with our daughter, we went to Europe for 3 weeks. She couldn't eat. She threw up after every single meal in every country that we were. She never complained. Once. Me, on the other hand, I complain about everything. I complain to my wife about the things that she does, which is never a good strategy, my friends. I do not recommend to do that. We are so, so, so different. My wife has the spiritual gift to leave shoes in every corner of the home. Now, I have permission to tell this story, but she's not in this experience, so I'm just gonna take it a little further. Sometimes when I come in inside the house and I try to come in and open the garage door, to go, there is her running shoes, her sandals, her work shoes. It's like I have to go through a mountain to try to get inside of my home. Then I go into the living room. That's another pair of shoes. Now, it's not that she just like takes them off and threw them everywhere. They're nicely, but they're not where they should be at. Like I go into our room and there's a pair of shoes in front of the closet, 6 inches away from where they belong. I am not like that. I am very organized. I know exactly what I'm gonna eat, what I'm gonna wear, how is my day gonna be the night before. My wife, she lives a happy life. She figures out as she goes. That's not me, which creates a lot of tension in our marriage. I'm gonna be very transparent with you today. I complain about the very thing that I pray for many years for God to bless me with. I pray for a wife. I did not pray for a girlfriend. I wanted a wife. God blessed me with, and now I only pay attention about the little things that get under my skin. What are those things in your life? It might be your spouse. Don't say it out loud if that person is sitting next to you. It might be your work. Maybe you work. You were praying for your job. God bless you with that job. And now you're complaining about your coworkers. You're complaining about your boss. What are those things that God has blessed you with that now you're complaining about? You're complaining to Him. You're complaining to the other people. Just like I've complained about this beautiful Mexican wife that God gave me. Now, we're in this series called In the Desert. We're studying the book of Numbers and Deuteronomy, and we're seeing how the children of God are going through the desert because they forgot where they were years prior to the what we're going to be reading today. Exodus says that they were slaves for over 400 years. They were in captivity. They were in slavery. They were oppressed, and they call out to God, and God sent Moses and tell Moses, tell my people that I have heard their cry and I will deliver them. That's in the book of Exodus. Now in the book of Numbers, where we at today, they are in the middle of the desert. They're not in the promised land yet. They're going through the hardship. They're going through a season in their history that they feel they're going backwards instead of going forward. Have you ever felt like that in your life? Where you feel like, man, things are not going as planned. I thought we were going to the promised land, not to the desert. This was a journey that was supposed to take about 2 weeks, and they were in the desert for 40 years, mainly because of what Pastor Samson spoke about last week, because of their patterns keep them from the promises of God. Today, we're going to be reading another story where they rebelled against God. Pastor Samson spoke about Numbers chapter 11. We're going to be in Numbers chapter 21 today. And I want you to follow along with me. Numbers 21, verse 4. It says, then the people of Israel sent out from Mount Hor, taking the road to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people grew impatient with the long, and they began to speak against God and Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die here in the wilderness? They complain. There is nothing to eat here and nothing to drink. And we hate this horrible man. The very thing that they pray for centuries for God to deliver them, now they are complaining about. Now, it's easy for me to preach this word and be like, I cannot believe the Israelites. When I read it, I go, oh my God, again, you're doing the same thing? You're rebelling against God? And I had a thought, I'm like, whoa, I do the same thing in my personal life. Where God has taken me out of Egypt, and I still wanting to go back. I'm still wanting to go back into those old patterns or those habits. Easy to complain. It's easy to see what they're doing and say, I cannot believe it. Like when we looked at this story, they are going into the promised land and it says they have to go around Edom because Edom did not let them go through. And they were not supposed to fight them. So they have to go around Edom, which they are in a terrible area in this desert. It's known to believe that it was loose sand, rocks, and terrible sandstorms coming from the Red Sea. Now, when I read all of that, I'm like, well, I kind of understand what they're complaining, that it's hard. And I know that sometimes in our life, we're going through difficult seasons and difficult things in our life that we feel that it's okay to complain because of what we're going through. It's difficult. But let's not forget that because of their complaint and their disobedience, it took them 40 years to get out of the desert, and a whole generation had to die because of their disobedience. Be careful how you complain while you're going through the desert. Be careful who you complain to when you are in the desert. I can only imagine, I've been trying to think, like, what would make the Israelites complain this bad to God when they're in the desert? And I think the problem is that as they are going in the desert and they're facing some of these challenges, they're turned to the wrong people. They turn to those who were also complaining and those who were adding into their complaint. You know, I can only imagine them walking and kind of daydreaming, man, in Egypt, we have food more than this terrible bread. In Egypt, we were safe. Even though we were slaves, we didn't have to go through the storms. And they probably turn to the person as they are in this journey and complain, and that person continue and add it to that complaint. And because of that, they rebelled against God. When Pastor Samson was speaking about, they rebelled against Moses. This time, not only against Moses, even God took some heat this time. Be careful who you have around you, because who you have around you matters. Not too long ago, I was having lunch with my accountability partner, and I was complaining about something that we'll be praying about. We were praying about something that would happen in my life, and I started complaining because it wasn't how I thought it would play out. And this is why I say that it's so important that you're careful who you have around, because he did not jump in the bandwagon and started complaining with me. He looked at me and said, it seems like God has answered the prayer that we've been praying for this whole year. Who you have around you matters. Make sure that the people that are around you will call you out when you're complaining and you're not being grateful. Because it's our natural tendencies to go and pair up with people in our lives that will add to the complaint. It did not end up well for the children of God in the desert, because this is how God judged them. And when you focus only in the negative, complaining will be the natural response. When you only focus in the negative about your spouse, in the negative about being single, in the negative about your financial struggles, complaining will be the natural response. And let me tell you that complaining will never lead you closer to God. And it will never lead you closer to people. This is how God judged them. Verse 6. So the Lord sent poisonous snakes among the people, and many were bitten and died. Then the people came to Moses and cried out, we have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take away the snakes. So Moses prayed for the people. Here we have how God judged them. Pastor Samson talked about those patterns, how they rebelled against God, how God judged them, and then the people came to Moses. And normally, when Moses would pray, God will deliver them. God will take care of it. But this time was different. God gives Moses instructions on how they will be healed. The Bible says that because of their complaint, many of them died. Another scripture says that God sent fiery snakes, because it says when the snake bit them, it was like fire that they were feeling inside of them. That's why they were called the fiery serpents. Now they come and they pretty much repent. What we did was wrong. We complain against you and we complain against God. Please go to God and tell him to take away the snakes. This is what the instruction that God gave Moses. Then the Lord tells him, make a replica of the poisonous snakes and attach it to a pole. All who are bitten will live if they simply look at it. So Moses made a snake out of bronze and attached it to a pole. Then anyone who was bitten by the snakes could look at the bronze snake and be healed. Here we see how God, even when the children of Israel rebelled against him, he was still faithful to his promise and his covenant to the people of Israel. They complained, God judged them, but when God provided a way for them to be healed. God provided a way for them to be restored. God provided a way to redeem them, even in the midst of their sin, their complaint. And this, it's a picture of Jesus in the Old Testament. God gave Moses the instruction to make a snake out of bronze. Out of another translation, the original language says that it was copper, which it was a red color, which actually it's the color of the blood. So it was a way that God was saving the Israelites from dying. And in the New Testament, we read earlier today in John chapter 3, verse 16, how God loved the world. But I think it's very important that we look at the verses before that. Verses 14 and 15 that says this. I want you to follow along. It says, and as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on the pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. Verse 16, for this is how God loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Even when the children of Israel rebelled, God provided a way. And even when you and I rebelled against God, God provided a way. The children of Israel had to look at the snake to be healed. You and I have to look at the Son of Man on the cross and believe that he's the Son of Man. And God provided a way for you and I to be restored in our relationship with him. That snake in the desert represents Jesus. It's a foreshadow of Jesus in the Old Testament. That the most famous, most quoted verse in scripture, the two verses before, talked about that incident. Because it was the worst time that they rebelled against God. As I was doing some research, Pastor Samson talked about the first time that they rebelled against God last week. And if you did not watch that message, I encourage you to go back and watch it. Chapter 21 was the last time that they rebelled against God. It was that bad. It was known for their entire history how bad they rebelled against God. So important that when we messed up like that, that we repent. And the Israelites, that's what they did. They went to Moses and says, we have sinned against you and God. Pray. And that's exactly what Jesus has done for us on the cross. So here's what I want you to do and encourage you. Because I've been dealing with this in my own personal life, complaining. And if my wife stopped leaving the shoes in the middle of the house, it will make it a little easier for me. But she might not. It's been 6 years and she hasn't changed. I'm gonna stop praying. I'm gonna tell you why. The other day, I'm on Instagram, my favorite social media app, and I'm scrolling through the reels and I saw this reel, the interview between a mom and a daughter, and it was like a podcast, and the daughter is asking the mom, how do I get my husband from stopping leaving everything everywhere? So I immediately stopped because I'm trying to figure it out, the same thing. And the mom said, well, if his mess bothers you, everything that he leaves around bothers you, then pick it up. That is not what I was expecting from the wisdom of this woman that's been married for over 40 years to say. And the daughter, just like me, was like, what? What do you mean? Pick it up. He says, well, clearly it doesn't bother him. It only bothers you. So you are complaining about something that only bothers you. So if you don't want to be bothered, just pick it up. The Lord is doing a work in my heart. Because I've been picking up my wife's shoes. Now, I'm not there yet where I put them where they belong. I just grab them and I put them in front of the closet where they belong, just so she knows I see you and I'm here to serve you. Maybe next time I speak, I'll give you an update and that will be nicely inside of the mess that she has in the closet. Told you I was gonna take it a little further. She's not here. just like I've been serving my wife, picking up those shoes, because it's a thing that really I've been complaining about to my wife. After I watched that reel, I really felt the Holy Spirit speaking to me and asking me to write down a list of the amazing things that my wife has and all of the great qualities that she has. And my wife supports me 100% in every crazy idea I have. We are polar opposites, but God gave me the woman that I needed. And God gave her the man that will pick up her shoes. Anyways. And in this list, I was like, she supports me 100% in every idea. She supports me in ministry. She provides for our family. She takes care of our home. She takes care of our daughter. She loves me unconditionally. Even when I'm in crazy and I complain about these things, she still chooses to love me. And the list just got so long. And yet I am focusing in this little list of things that get under my skin. Because complaining, it's all about us. It's all about us. And here's what I want to challenge you with, is to complain less and to praise more. The other day I went to the dictionary on Google and I typed, what's the opposite of complain? This is something I'm dealing with in my personal life. I know I made it real funny, but in real life, in my skin, it has been really, really, very difficult for me. I looked it up. What is the opposite of complaining? And the word was praise. So complain less and praise more. Maybe you are not where you want to be in life, but praise God you're not where you used to be. Maybe you have not received that miracle you've been praying for years. But let's praise God for all the good things that He has done in our lives. In my house, I've been complaining about the little things that irritate me about my wife. But recently, after the Lord has been dealing with me with this, I go home and I say, babe, I'm proud of you. You're an amazing mom. You love me so much. And I am constantly reminding her and praising her, not for the things that I wish she would understand that she needs to do and take care of, but I'm just giving her praise for all the wonderful things that she is and that she does for our family. It has changed our relationship. It has changed our nighttime activities. It has changed everything. Took you a second there. It has changed our relationship. What if instead of complaining to God, we come to Him and we bring Him our worries, we bring Him our pain? I want you to stand into your feet. Our prayer team is gonna come forward. You're gonna have an opportunity not to complain to God for the things that He hasn't done in your life, but to bring them to Him and praise Him anyways. We were singing that song, I Praise You Anyways. It's easy to praise when things are going our way, but it's totally different to praise God when what we see is not what we were hoping for. Our prayer team is available to pray with you, to believe with you. Would you come forward and ask them to pray with you? Be specific about the prayer. And maybe like me, you've been complaining about your spouse. What if you come forward and you say, you know, I have this problem about complaining, about blank. Would you pray that God changed me and transformed that area of my life? Father, thank you for your word, that it never returns void. Your word, it's alive and active. Your word transforms us. Your word changes us. God, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice that they are maybe complaining today and complaining to you and others, God. I pray as they bring them to you those worries, those complaints, God, that you will help us and transform us according to your word in the name of Jesus. If you need prayer, don't wait. Come forward. We're ready to pray with you.